on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Hope you're enjoying some of the nice weather that we've had. It's kind of been in and out, but hey, we'll try to enjoy as much of the nice weather as we can, and hopefully it continues to get nicer. Nicer weather now means we're going through spring football, and it'll get us into the summer here eventually, and you know, before you know it, in the blink of an eye, we'll be talking about fall football, but today we're going to talk about spring football because the Coyote football team has been going right through the spring football practices, and they've spent a lot of the practices early morning opportunities for them, a lot of Tuesdays and Thursdays very early in the morning, try to get them in and out of practice so that they can go to class and then have film sessions in the afternoon. So this team's grinding right now. They know how important this part of the season is as they try to not bounce back, but continue the build off of last season, right? We're coming off of a great football season, the best ever at the Division I level, opportunity to not only advance to the quarterfinals, but host the quarterfinal round. And obviously that didn't end the way that anybody had envisioned or had hoped, but it was a great step for the football program, and hopefully they can continue that upward trend with another solid season here this year. And it all gets underway late August on a Thursday night against Northern State. So it'll be here before we know it. Right now, though, enjoy what you're doing in the spring and enjoy your summer. We'll be into all of this before you know it. It was announced this week that the men's basketball team is taking a foreign trip. They are going to Italy for an 11-day foreign tour. They will leave July 29th. They'll return home August 8th. They'll get a real opportunity, you know, to go to Rome and Florence and Venice and Lake Como, and a great opportunity for them not only to play basketball, but to learn and experience a different culture and different history and some of that. So really cool opportunity for them. Obviously, we've seen the women's basketball team go on these trips. We see our teams every once in a while go on these trips. I think you could do it every 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. And so the other thing about this, you know, obviously there's going to be some new players into the roster. This gives the great thing about a foreign tour is it gives your team an opportunity to begin practice earlier than normal because they get 10 additional practice dates in Vermilion to prepare for their trip to Italy. And that could be a really, really, really big benefit for the men's basketball team going into the season. So we'll see how it goes. Should be a lot of fun, but you can travel as a fan. You can travel with the team to Italy. If you want to do that, you need to contact the Coyote Athletics Department Secretary Jessica. All of that information is available at goyotes.com. Reach out, find out what the travel package is. Could be a great experience for you as well, and a chance to wear your Coyote gear in Italy and cheer on the Coyote men's basketball team. They'll play 3 games in Italy over that time period. So really, really cool opportunity for them. Really cool opportunity for fans who may want to join as well. So if you want to do that, keep your eyes out. It's at goyotes.com. Also, heads up, you'll notice a lot of things come out probably Sunday night, a little bit Monday maybe when you wake up, whatever it may be. But this weekend is the Student Athlete Awards banquet for USD, and it's always a really, really cool thing. We get to honor a male athlete of the year, female athlete of the year, rookies of the year, the Courage Award, somebody who's dealt with extreme circumstances, team of the year, things like that. All of that is that the banquet is Sunday night. So all of that will come out and you'll be able to see who all the winners are. It's very, very exciting. It's a lot of fun. It's a night to celebrate these student athletes at the University of South Dakota. It's one of my favorite nights of the year. And I love when it comes in April and we get to celebrate the student athletes over a banquet that, you know, goes about an hour or so. And this year it's going to be on a Sunday night because what they try to do is they try to put it on a night where they can get the majority of the student athletes there because they want all of them. Right. And that's not always possible because obviously there are, games and things like that or trips or whatever. But At the end of the day, it's really cool when they can get as many student athletes there as possible, and we get to celebrate them for a night. And so we'll look forward to that coming up this weekend. All right, let's get into our conversations with spring football. It is coming fast, fast, fast. If you're going to the spring game April 20th, it's an afternoon game. Of course, that's the night following the Culling Out Coyotes event, which is a great event in Sioux Falls. Hopefully you can attend and be a part of that and help out. And, you know, we talked a lot about that, how important that night is for athletics at the University of South Dakota. And there's ways for you to be involved that don't cost you a lot of money. There's ways for you to be involved if you have the means to really give to athletics at USD. So a number of different ways. Maybe you can get on the silent auction if you can't be there. Look at a few things, maybe buy them, and we'll see. You know, we'll see how the night goes, but hopefully a really good night for Coyote Athletics coming up on April 19th. But the spring game will be the next day. It's April 20th. This week, I had a chance to catch up with both coordinators at USD to talk to them about each side of the ball and what is kind of the focus and what's the importance of spring practice. We'll start it this week with Travis Johansson, the defensive coordinator at South Dakota. Travis, how's the offseason been for the defensive unit after obviously last year a really great season?
Really good. Obviously, we're helping, you know, get some of the guys that are leaving prepared to take their next step in their NFL journeys, and that's been really good. Watching that group, you know, transition on to hopefully professional football for them all, and then, you know, with their departure, you know, a lot of guys that are in competition and to get prepared to take those jobs over and improve in the other ones. So it's been really good. We had a great winter training. You know, we've had a great start to spring ball, but a lot of work to do.
Let's talk about some of that before we get into the team now, because, you know, a lot of comments have been made about Miles Harden or a lot of the conversation, and you had a chance to experience the draft combine with him. How special was it not only to have a guy there, especially someone that I know you believed in since day number one, but to be there supporting him?
Yeah, I think we always want to be for our guys, you know. A lot of guys got opportunities, and obviously Miles got a pretty special one in the combine. You know, that's turning into the expectation here, needs to continue to be. We're developing pro football players, and, yeah, to see one of our guys on that stage and, you know, not surprising. He's a really talented kid, and you know, but to see him living it out and perform so well and raise his stock in an environment like that, I think opened a lot of our guys' eyes, you know, to the fact that, yeah, I certainly belong on that level, and we have really, really good football players. They're some of the best in the country at any level, and we'll continue to recruit and develop those guys.
So many people hear about the draft combine. We see pictures, we see videos. Some people sit and watch it on TV. But what is the experience actually like for those guys as they go through the drills and the testing?
Yeah, it's a busy week, let alone just the testing day is just one of the days. You know, they've got intensive medical interviews, a lot of stuff in an entire week for them to kind of handle, knowing that the crux of it is the testing. So it gives them a real experience as to, you know, what professional football looks like and the investment they have in figuring it out with each player. You know, but I think it was funny watching Miles, you know, go through it. You know, he's a kid that just gained a ton of confidence once he got around those guys on that football field and kind of realized, yeah, it's the same thing I do every day in Vermillion, and I'm just going to go be me, and that's pretty darn good. So, you know, it's a lot for them, a lot of pressure and those sort of things, but he's been able to handle that, you know, and there's not like there hasn't been some pressure moments around here. So he was certainly prepared and did a heck of a job.
Well, I know I've heard you say this phrase before. Other coaches have said it. Miles himself said it, you know, when I asked him about being at the combine. And sure, you're around some different people, but at the end of the day, football's football.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, there's certainly levels to it. There is. And I think the reality is we're doing it at the very highest level, and we expect our guys to have aspirations on that level. And we train and push them to perform on the very highest level. And so, you know, I think, you know, sometimes just maybe because there's not as much hoopla around FCS football sometimes, and it's not on ESPN every single day of their lives, that doesn't change the fact the way they're preparing and going through things day to day is setting them up to be professional players and professional people. So, you know, Miles experienced that firsthand. Our guys saw that, and we'll continue to see that as guys have success after USD.
I know a lot of people are excited to see if and when his name gets called in the draft, and then where these other guys get opportunities. Because I know a lot of guys you mentioned competed in the pro day, they took the tests, things like that. They're going to get opportunities. A lot of these guys, some may be rookie minicamps, maybe undrafted free agents. However that works out, but give them an opportunity, then it's up to them.
Yeah, I think we've got five guys that defensively, six guys overall, that really have an opportunity to get their shot, and I think they're prepared to take advantage of it. You know, Miles obviously got the big picture opportunities, but, you know, between Brock Mogensen, Stephen Hillis, the way John Jonas prepared and showed what he can do on a pro day, Brendan Webb on that pro day, you know, just talking defensively, you know, those guys, Stephen Hillis obviously crushed his. I think when they combine, you know, those numbers and that testing and that work and the way they carried themselves on that day in combination with their tape and in combination with, you know, how guys are acclimating in the NFL that are playing defense here, I think those are really safe guys to bring into your camp. They're really productive people that understand defensive football on a high level. And any organization that would take them would be happy that they did. I think if they get a shot, we'll see those guys stick and find out and start to carve out roles in the league. And, you know, if it's not in the NFL, you know, that CFL is really good football. This new UFL, XFL, AFL, whatever they're turning it into, they're paying people to play too. So I think any shot they get, our guys will certainly take advantage of.
Well, it's fun to talk about these guys getting opportunities, but the bad part about talking about them getting opportunities means that you have some work to do to replace them. I know spring ball is flying by right now. So we talked about some of those guys. How do you fill in those spots where some of your top players are gone at every level?
Yeah, I think that's the reality is when you start to become good and you're consistently good, good players are going to leave. But that also means you've got good players sitting here on your roster, and we do. You know, we feel really good about the development of each level of our defense where we lost guys. Feel really good about the people there, and my comfort comes from we've got an unbelievable staff that is prepared to develop guys, that has developed the guys that are leaving, and will continue to do the same with the guys that are here and have already done. I think we've got a lot of work to do to get them on that level. It's going to take us, you know, all the spring and all the fall to have that, you know, that group of this defense ready to go. But, you know, between, you know, Coach Taylor and Coach Hodge and Coach Ferentz and Coach Nelson, who's been great in his new arrival, there's an unbelievable amount of confidence at the way those guys go about training and developing people that will have a defense that's ready to play and play high-level football and keep us, you know, chasing a national title.
Give me a couple of players who have really stood out in the spring so far.
You know, I think if, you know, up front, we've been a little banged up, taking care of some guys. But, you know, Mike East Grace has had a good spring, you know, moved him to rush. He's kind of sliding into that role Webby had a year ago and starting to take strides. You know, Lenard Hill in that room is a young kid that's showing some freaky stuff, you know, still got to play within the confines of the defense, but he's got some high-level talent. You know, bringing on Jonathan Bunce and Niall Dickel and giving them time both at rush and end. I mean, I feel like, you know, Coach Ferentz in that room has done a good job of creating a lot of depth in our end and rush position. Interior-wise, you know, there's been a bunch of guys kind of rotating through there, but Blake Holden's had a heck of a spring. Mosai Newsome is taking care of a PCL a little bit right now, but he's had a good start, you know, and the rest of those guys inside are really battling to create more depth in there. At the linebacker level, obviously that's where we lost a lot of really good players, but, you know, with John Jonas's departure, and you know, Tevin McKelvey, he's put on 25 pounds and has put himself in position to kind of do all the jobs there, backed up with Matt Walsh right now. Those two are battling for time and roles. You know, so those guys have been great. And our back room as a whole, you know, there's really four guys that are battling right now between Gary Bryant, who's returning and has experience, and Gabe Hardman, who got some experience as a freshman. Nate Ewell, transfer from Grandview, who's been a really, really, really good player so far. And Wade Abrams, who transferred from Valparaiso. You know, those four guys are starting to gel, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to figure out who are going to get the shots. I think that'll take us through fall camp to figure that one out, but I'm very confident in that group. And we got an experienced secondary coming back, and we added Mike Reed from Monmouth, who's had a nice spring. I could go on and on about that group, but you know, they're you know, Coach Taylor's doing a heck of a job, you know, with the departure of Miles Harden, you know, getting Mike up to speed. Dom Reeves is taking a step forward. Caleb McKenzie's doing a great job. So you know, there's guys in that room that are gonna, you know, replace the production that Miles had. So a lot of guys, and I'm talking about darn near everybody, but you know, that's kind of where we're at, you know, figuring this out with through volume a little bit and competition.
You're always kind of looking for the guys that maybe our fans didn't hear about last year much, or we didn't talk a lot about them because they weren't getting as many reps, or maybe there were special teams guys that could step forward and really make major contributions this year.
Yeah, I think really it's for us, it's going to be, you know, kind of the new guys, you know, that guys haven't seen, and it's particular in that linebacker room because that's where everybody's departing from. You know, a lot of familiar face in the secondary with Dennis Shorter and JoJo Gaines, and you know, hopefully we get Shahid back at some point, and that group pretty familiar. But you know, without Mogi and Hillis, who we've seen play a lot of reps over the last 2 years, you know, between Gary and Gabe and Nate and Wade and Tevin, that group collectively getting some of those jobs done, you know, they're going to be all over the field in a number of ways, and excited to figure out different ways to use them.
Just a couple of changes on your staff this year. Obviously, one is a major assistant with the defensive line coach, Nathan Nelson, changing. What's he bring to the program?
Yeah, I think Nate brings a lot of congruent mindset. I think Nate is a guy that sees culturally how we want to do things, how we, you know, the discipline and tough, accountable, you know, kind of blue collar mindset that we have. He certainly brings that. You know, he's a youthful guy that I think relates to players really well. It's been great so far, but he's a heck of a football coach. He's very conscientious of detail and stays on them guys hard, which, you know, they need. And that's how we're going to push them to be great. And he brings a really congruent mindset. It's the best way I can put it, and fits in great with our staff, doing a heck of a job with our interior D-line.
I said a couple of changes, so I want to clarify, you did have a quality control change as well, and I know you like, that's kind of the grunt work of getting into coaching a little bit, and I know you like taking former players and really giving them a chance there.
Yeah, you know, we lost Josh Manchagaya, had a baby, he got to grow up a little bit, go make a little bit more money, so he got an opportunity to get on with the staff over at Iowa, and we'll do a great job for those guys. And yeah, we took Cannon Blauser, who retired, just kind of medically retired after last season, still had a year to play, but you know, Cannon's body just didn't feel like he could do it like he wanted to do it, and really has been had a great start with us. You know, really conscientious guy who's detailed, and will do a great job assisting with those DBs. You know, as a backer, as a player, as a backer, now to back up with Coach Taylor and learn from him in that room will be really valuable for us.
All right. Last thing for you. What do you want to see out of this defensive unit over the next 4 months? I know you don't get all that time with those guys, but they get time together. They get time to grow. What do you want to see out of them so this group can be ready to go come fall camp and another solid group when we get into the season?
Yeah, I think we're looking for that group to really gel as people. You know, we had a really cohesive unit over the last couple of years with familiar faces that have been around. There's some new guys, you know, guys we need to step forward in a leadership role with, you know, Dennis Shorter and JoJo and Blake Holden and Mo Newsome, you know, getting out front of our defense. And those are faces that haven't been out front of our defense. So, you know, watching those guys lead the group and watching that group be responsive to them and, you know, watching this thing turn into, you know, a coaches-led operation a little bit right now in the spring to a player-led operation once we hit that fall camp. Summer will be a big part of that. But, you know, the expectations aren't changing with what we expect on defense and the results we expect. And it hasn't changed with them. Just roles are a little different. So excited to see him fit into them. Should be an exciting fall.
Awesome stuff. We're excited to see it. I know people are excited right now with spring ball going on. Enjoy it. Keep grinding and keep them learning. Thanks, Travis.
Appreciate it, John.
He is Travis Johansson, the defensive coordinator at the University of South Dakota. And boy, his defense was so good last year. There were a lot of really good things that the defense was able to do last year, and they kept this team in a lot of games. Let's be honest, right? A lot of games they were able to keep this team in, and they're a good reason. Now, the offense obviously scored points, but the defense kept this team in a lot of football games last year, and it shows by the number of defensive players who have participated in Pro Day who are going to get the opportunity to play some type of professional football. Well, if we talk defense, we're going to talk offense. Second year offensive coordinator Josh Davis sat down with me this week as we talked about year two of him as offensive coordinator and the spring practices ahead for a Coyote offense that returns a lot from a year ago.
Josh, this team had a heck of a year last year. It was one of the your year one for you, I should say, calling plays at this level and at USD. So we always talk about how much a team grows and how much players grow throughout the year. I'm curious, how much did Josh Davis learn in season number one?
A lot. Learned a lot about the ability of our players, but also just the identity of our offense and who we want to be. Very ball control throughout the 2023 season, and as we continue to grow, looking to become more explosive off of those packages, but trying to be careful, allowing myself to call plays that put our players in positions to be explosive while continuing to protect the passer at a high level. And there's room for growth in that area. But as an individual coach, being around such quality professionals, I learned a lot on how to manage professionals, making sure that they have the freedom to speak up and add value to our offense. And at the same time, define rules for our staff in terms of where is their gray area in our offense and what are the black and white rules that we're going to go into a game with. Love the people I work with, and they've definitely made me better as well.
I think maybe that's an area that is underappreciated sometimes. If you can have kind of a leader like yourself and you're open to players or assistant coaches saying, hey, I don't think it'll work, and here's why. Mm-hmm. And then you have that conversation, it's easier to get to a solution.
Yeah, definitely. Three of our assistant coaches have coordinating experience, and that was on purpose because I need that, allowing myself to float around new ideas and come up with the best ways for the Coyote offense to be successful. That's why those guys are aboard, and they know they're valued here.
A lot of this offensive unit is back for another season. How important or how exciting is that for you as the coordinator to see that group coming back?
It is. You know, I'm hard on our young men in terms of championship-level performance and championship-level play. I thought we were there at a lot of times last year late in the season. I wasn't very pleased with our execution as an offense. Our defense and special teams were pretty doggone good last year. We have to make sure that we're stepping up in the games where they're falling short. Our offense needs to be able to go out and win us a football game, and that's what we're working towards. It does help to have all those guys back. We're going to need help with the depth of our football team, and that's what spring ball is all about. But the experience is incredibly valuable. We have our 6th, 7th, and 8th offensive linemen have played a lot of football for us throughout the course of the 2023 season. Our backfield, you saw Keandre, you saw Charles Pierre, you obviously know who Travis Tice is, and bringing LJ Phillips up through our system is going to be really valuable for us. But that experience, not just for the Coyotes, but any offense out there, is incredibly valuable at our level. You learn best through experience, and we've got a lot of that.
Well, a guy who got a lot of experience last year as your quarterback, Aiden, he was solid last year, really commanded the offense. It seemed like his leadership level grew so much, maybe spring ball last year into fall camp, that kind of thing. What areas are you trying to refine with him so that he can take that next step forward leading the offense?
It really hasn't changed. Our pre-snap plan needs to be great. And then our post-snap execution obviously needs to be even better. Aiden is doing a really nice job with pocket presence. Very rarely in the Missouri Valley do quarterbacks get a progress through their progressions with while standing still in a pocket. So we're doing a lot of drill work and seeing it a lot show up in our team reps where Aiden has to find launch points. He's becoming a lot better at that. Now we got to make sure that his biomechanics are proper with his techniques to deliver footballs. He short-armed a couple balls yesterday in the scrimmage that I was disappointed in, but I was really pleased with his pre-snap eyes. He's looking at the right, attacking the right defenders in our pass game, but we need to protect him to the maximum, and he needs to find launch points to throw strong footballs sideline to sideline. And there's room for growth there. We got to continue to maximize our separation on the perimeter. Aiden is a distributor. He's really good at finding one-on-one matchups, but we got to continue to grow to win those one-on-one matchups consistently to simplify his life.
You talked about the running backs, and I'm curious as you look at that group, because we saw the great ability of Charles Pierre. Everybody knows about Travis Tice because he's been here a while. He's been the old reliable. We saw just a taste of LJ Phillips and what he can do. Keandre was last year mostly split out wide when he was into the game. How do you kind of get those guys to buy into a role? Keep everyone happy, because together that can be an incredible unit.
Well, I think the way you treat them, the way you communicate with them, the way you give them feedback to let them know that with or without the ball, there's tremendous value in what they're doing for our football team. It helps when the leader of that position group has no ego. Travis Tice doesn't care if LJ has 300 yards and Travis is the lead blocker for LJ all game, or Charles, or whoever the ball carrier is. He's great with and without the ball, and that sets the tone for that room. And we were healthy last year in terms of those guys staying happy. We had a couple backs that left our program with Mike and Nate, unfortunately, but you know, we wish them the best. But we've got some really good talented players with LJ and Keandre to kind of fill those shoes. You have to recruit team-oriented young men, which we've done, and it's paying off to our benefit, having you know, four or five backs that we feel like we can pursue a championship with.
You look at the pass catchers, and last year it was no secret. The bulk of the targets went to Carter Bell, J.J. Galbraith, Jack Martins when he was healthy, and that was really the core. It was who Aiden was comfortable with. It was guys who were getting open, finding ways to get themselves in a position to make a play. Who has the ability to emerge as another pass catcher, key contributor?
Yeah, you know, I think we gotta mention Javion Phelps' name. Javion was never healthy last year. He was dealing with a sports hernia. He played every game for us, but there's another speed that Javion can, and we hope that he gets to moving forward. He's had that hip surgically repaired, so we're looking forward to get him back full speed come June. You know, so he'll be somebody who we're counting on to continue to help us. Everybody saw Javion wearing that number 8 jersey last year. Lorenzo Fenner is the next up-and-comer that we're looking to really add an explosive element to our football team. Lorenzo's first reception yesterday, he took for a 55-yard touchdown, which was really good to see. He ended up tweaking his hamstring a handful of reps later. Hope to get him back this spring. But, you know, Coyote fans are going to see Lorenzo Fenner playing quite a bit of football for us moving forward. We've got the addition of Karan Adams, a transfer from Iowa State, who's been really pleasing up to this point throughout spring ball. He's learning a lot. We're trying to bounce him around to play a couple positions for us, but there's no doubt that he can run and go down the field and make plays for us, but we got to coach him up and everything else that the wide receiver position group does for us. But Karan is somebody who we're counting on stepping up. You mentioned Jack and Carter. Cole Roden is somebody who's still very accountable within our offense. Curtis Thomas is a freshman receiver. He's probably the fastest kid in the room. Got to get him playing at a high level. Curtis is growing up a lot this spring, getting a ton of reps, made a couple really nice plays in our scrimmage yesterday. So we hope that he can continue to grow up and help us next fall on Saturdays.
You had a change to your coaching staff with the wide receiver coach. Matt Vitztum joined the group and spent a long time at Grand Valley State. Mm-hmm. He's been here for a few weeks now as you get into spring ball. What does he bring to this coaching staff and just the program in general?
Yeah, well, he's got 10 years of experience of running an offense at a high level. You know, that team in the Division II level was championship contenders every single year. So we're bringing a winning football coach who's managed a whole offense to that wide receiver room. So he's going to be able to help us with how he used to go about things and provide ideas into our game planning that are very valuable. I love that as a play caller, because I need new ideas that aren't coming to me naturally, and he's been able to provide that. He's also a high quality character man, raising a family. He does things the right way. He treats kids very brutally honest, which I really appreciate. He's not going to sugarcoat things, but he does communicate at a high level and provide them the feedback that they need. And like I mentioned, you hire somebody who's been a coordinator for so long, there's a different type of value that he brings to a program, just in terms of how we game plan, route combinations that we can use to attack Missouri Valley defenses. He's already implemented quite a bit into what we're doing this spring. And relationships are really important to Coach Vitsum, and he's doing a really nice job diving into our young men's lives and making sure they have a support system that's strong here within our coaching staff.
How much has this, not just the offense, but the team in general, how much have they used the motivation from last year, a season which was obviously a great success? It's farther than Kyo football has ever gone before, hosting a couple of playoff games. I know the way it ended had to have left a bad taste in these guys' mouth, because they didn't perform at the level that we saw them a lot of the season, right, in that final game. How much has that motivated this group to not only get back to that spot, but try to keep going forward?
Well, I can tell you right off, it's motivated me. So as the leader of our offense, that message has been sent very frequently to our team about what is it that we're trying to accomplish. Are we satisfied with hosting a quarterfinals game and getting our butts kicked? Absolutely not. There's only one thing I lay my head down at night thinking about, and that's that North Dakota State loss. I think it was December 10th, maybe. All the good things we did last year, I wish I could spend more time reminiscing about those, but I simply don't. You know, we're in a league where, you know, winning, we did everything we needed to do to host that quarterfinal game, but we didn't show up that day. Part of that fell on the offensive game plan. How often were we creating advantages for our young men? I need to be better there. And then the execution needs to pick up to win those high-level football games at that point of the season. But that's extremely important. The leaders of our offense know that quarterfinals isn't good enough around here. We want to win a Missouri Valley Conference championship. That's priority number one. And then make sure we're playing at a level that can pursue a championship. And last year, specifically within, you know, there's three elements of football: offense, defense, and special teams. All we can control is the offense, and I felt like we were less than we needed to be late in the season last year as an offense, coaching staff, game planning, and then execution out of our players as well. The message that our offense hears is a championship message, not a quarterfinals message, not a host a playoff game message. It's a championship message, and Coach Nielsen's message to the entire team is no different. We want to win a Missouri Valley Football Conference and pursue our potential after that.
You've got a little bit of time left in spring ball, and then you'll get some time away from the guys, and obviously they'll be, you know, those guys get together in the summer, and then you'll be into fall camp. What do you need to see out of the offensive unit, you think, over the next 4 months, really, as it grows together, to be able to hit the ground running in fall camp and be ready for late August when we officially kick off the season?
We're really pleased as a coaching staff with the leadership of our football team. We're in good hands with how much our young men care about one another and about the advantages that we can have throughout summer ball, which is a lot of times captain-led. You know, when those guys are out there doing things on their own, feel really good about the leadership of our football team. What I hope to see out of these final six practices is simply better execution. We have a job on every single play call. I want total buy-in to the young men, understanding what their job is and how they react to movement of defense. We got a lot of room to grow. That scrimmage yesterday for us was really concerning as an offensive coach, but we got so much to teach today's meeting this afternoon, we're going to use every minute we have to watch every clip of that film to get better as an offense. Too many mistakes, too many times guys were not focused on playing at a high level to do their job, trying to do more than we're asking them to do. We can simplify. As an individual, we got to handle our jobs, and when we do that as a group, 11 on 11, we're going to be a pretty good football team. Put the ball on the ground four times yesterday, so ball security was a huge concern. We got to clean that stuff up. But, you know, moving into the summer, our guys are going to understand what our fundamental schemes are, what our identity is, and we're going to be able to grow from there.
All right, we're excited to see where this team goes into next season. Excited to get another year of Josh Davis as the offensive coordinator.
Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Coach. Appreciate it very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, appreciate that. And we're working hard to pursue a championship around here. We appreciate all the support, you included. So appreciate what you're doing, John. Thanks.
And I very much appreciate that. That's Josh Davis, the offensive coordinator in year number two at the University of South Dakota. Always great to talk to him about Kyle football, his offense, but I'm really excited to see Josh Davis in year number two because I thought he did a lot of really good things last year. I thought early on you could tell there was a little bit of a learning curve, and I think, you know, he would admit that as well, but I thought that he continued to find ways to get this offense effective. And they're going to continue to do that. And having an experienced bunch back with a coordinator going into year number two, I think is just unbelievably awesome. And I'm excited to see how that goes for Josh Davis and Kyle football coming up this fall. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Women's tennis is set to host North Dakota Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Women's soccer will play a spring match in Vermilion against Wayne State. That is scheduled to get started at 5 o'clock. Coming up on Saturday, track and field hosts the South Dakota Challenge in Vermilion. That is set to get underway at 11 a.m. Softball is at home on Saturday for a doubleheader against Omaha. Game one is set for noon on Saturday. That softball series will wrap up on Sunday with a single game at 11 a.m. Also on Sunday, women's soccer takes on Northern State. Another spring match opportunity for soccer. 2:30 start time on Sunday afternoon. And then we've got a few days of no athletics for Coyote athletes. No games, no matches, no events for a few days, and then they'll get ready for a big weekend coming up the following weekend. We're closing in. The Summit League Women's Golf Championship gets underway on Sunday the 21st, and that's a 3-day event down in Kansas. And so we're getting into league championship season in our sports. Men's golf will be the week following, and before you know it, we'll be into track and field championships as well. So a lot of stuff going on this academic year, this athletic year. It is all going very, very quickly. So keep an eye out. Obviously, a lot of these sports right now, they're outdoor sports. They're weather dependent. So keep an eye to goyotes.com. They will have all of the information on weather-related changes, schedule changes, reschedules, all of that stuff, always available at goyotes.com. Big thanks to Travis Johansson and Josh Davis for taking some time this week during spring football to talk about their respective sides of the ball. Hopefully you enjoyed those conversations. Coming up next week, we will have the head football coach, Bob Nielsen, and his thoughts on where things are at with spring football as well. So that is all coming up next week. But that's going to wrap things up for us this week. That's it for me. Have a great weekend. Looks like some nicer weather. I hope you could do something to enjoy it, whatever that may be. Even if it's just sitting in your lazy chair with a cold beverage or whatever of your choice and just enjoying a little bit of sun and a little bit of nicer weather. I hope you can enjoy it some way, shape, or form. All right, that's it for us. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.